All right, all right. How about them Spurs students going over there, getting things rocking and rolling? Okay, we're not happy they left. I'm just kidding. There we go. Everybody, we're kid-free. I'm just kidding. It's all right. It's all right. So, hey, over these next... It's going to make sense in a minute where that's coming from. Hey, over these next few weeks, I don't know about you, but as I was getting ready for this series and getting ready for Easter, honestly, this came about... Probably in the fall, I started hearing from Jesus that this is what we needed to do going into our Easter series. So I actually listened to him and did what he said. Don't tell anyone. I may or may not be obedient. That's just how we roll. But over these next few weeks, we're going to be talking about the seven cries from the cross. Now, most of us have heard about this. If we've ever gone to church throughout what we call Holy Week, but the week leading up to Easter. Normally, you walk through this, but we're going to spread it out over 7 weeks and take a deep dive into the seven last things that Jesus said on the cross. Because here's the thing. He left a template for us to live when he went to the cross. He left a way for us to have life and have it abundantly. The thing is, whether we apply it or not, it's kind of totally up to us. So today we're going to be talking about something that's really cool, and the first thing that Jesus said, but I got to have some crowd participation here. So how many of us have a sibling? Show of hands. How many of us have a sibling? Awesome, awesome, awesome. How many of us were the oldest? Awesome, awesome. So here's what I want to tell you about the oldest. You know, at some point in your life, two people loved each other because they had you. You're the oldest, and they had a child. You're the oldest. So I want you to know, some point in your life, you had two people that loved each other. So you're the oldest sibling. Now, how many folks are the second-born sibling? Second-born. Awesome, awesome. Let me tell you about you, okay? It's kind of like when you have one dog, you got to have a little playmate for him. So you are either a completion to the set or the playmate to the other. So if the firstborn was a boy, more than likely they tried to have a girl. That's where you came along, more than likely, right? Or you literally were what they did to keep the other one occupied. Like I said, you have a dog, you got another little dog, you're the second one. I want to let you know that's kind of where you are. Nothing wrong with that. I'm not downgrading you at all, because how many of you were the third born? That would be me as well. So I'm the firstborn of my mother, but the thirdborn of my son. That was weird. Of my father. So I'm the youngest in my family, but I'm the third. And here's what I want to tell you about us. We were just like a Sunday afternoon or a youth camp, a youth lock-in or a youth retreat. That's why I'm here. Or they tried to complete the set again, more than likely if they didn't have it already. So if you have a sibling, what I'm trying to get at is order matters, doesn't it? Because here's the thing that I know about having siblings, because I'm the youngest, is it's kind of a rite of passage that the older siblings haze the younger sibling, right? Like, isn't that just a rite of passage? That's something that has to happen. It's something that is supposed to happen. As a matter of fact, though, anyone can't just pick on you, though. Only your siblings can, right? Like, you can get talked bad about and beat up by your siblings, but, oh, nobody else better mess with you. Nobody else. So when I was getting ready for this, the reason that this matters is I started thinking about, hey, the order we were born, I went back to growing up and this hazing that I had. So my sister is 6.5 years older than me. Don't tell her I said that. And my brother is 6.5 years older than her, basically, almost 7 years older than her, right at. So we're kind of about 7 years apart. And as I was growing up, we used to play this game called potato sack. Does anybody know what potato sack is? Exactly. I was made to believe that it was normal. So let me describe potato sack for you. Potato sack is when they would take little brother Tyler, and obviously I can be annoying. Really? No. I'm the youngest, right? I'm the baby. So they would put me in a sheet or a comforter and drag me around the house as a potato sack and run me into everything that they could. And I thought it was funny, and the bruises were normal, and I just got beat the crap out of. Like, there were many holes in the house probably from my hard head running into walls and running into things. But the thing that I thought about so many times is, growing up, I thought that was normal. Like, hey, that was normal. So if you ever wonder what's wrong with me, it's the potato sack, okay? That's probably what was wrong with me. But growing up, I remembered that, and I thought about the hazing, but here's the thing that we can struggle with. It's easy to forgive your siblings for something like that, right? Like, they didn't know any better. They were just trying to put me on the precipice of death, not actually kill me, right? Like, they were just pushing me to the edge. They were showing me Jesus. They were giving me church discipline, right? So growing up, that's kind of what I heard of and what I thought of when we were going through hazing, and when we talk about servant, when you were born and what order you were born. But I said, isn't it easy to forgive? And so that's what we're kind of going to talk about today, is this word called forgive. Because it's something we've talked a lot about here at the Vine, but I want to tell you the reason that we talk a lot about it is probably because your pastor struggles the most with it at times. But the reason I want to talk about forgive is because that's the first thing Jesus said when he went to the cross. So if you've got your Bible today, don't get frustrated with me. We're going to camp out in Matthew 18 most of the day. And then if you want to go ahead and mark, we're going to be over in Exodus 15 at the end, but we're going to start in Luke 23 for just a couple of verses, okay? So we're going to start in Luke 23, go to Matthew 18, and then we're going to be in Exodus 15 to wrap up. So whether you have a Bible or not, I want you to know we have Bibles here free for the asking, but one of the things that we get to do here at the Vine Church is each and every week, we want to make it as easy as possible for you to listen to Jesus and do what he says. So we partner with a Bible app, and we make a way for you to follow with us online. So I'm going to show you how you can do that right now. If you have the Bible app, go ahead and download it from your favorite app store. And then once you get that, click the Bible app. Go ahead and open it up. Click the More tab. And once you do that, you're going to click on Events. And once you find Events, go to the Vine.tv worship experience. Today you're going to see Seven Cries from the Cross and Forgive. And once you click on that, you're going to see all the scripture we're going to walk through. You're going to find a place to take notes. But more importantly, you're going to also find ways that you can connect with us throughout the week. And also, if you need to connect with us for us to serve you in any way, you can let us know that. So if you want to go ahead and get the Bible app open, you can. We're going to go ahead and dive into this thing called forgive and look at what Jesus did first on the cross. So in Luke 23, verse 33 through 34, It says this. When they came to the place called the Skull, which we know as Golgotha, they crucified him there, along with criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. Jesus said, say this with me, what did Jesus say? Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. So when we talk about the seven cries from the cross, the first thing that Jesus said is forgive. Now, the reason I started off about siblings, and that was real fun, and you learned potato sack. That's why I'm glad the teenagers aren't in here, because if they had younger siblings, they would be playing potato sack all afternoon. And parents would be mad at me for me teaching them that in church. But the reason that I wanted you to know that is, I would be naive to think that maybe some things in our life that we're holding on to are a lot rougher than potato sack. Some of us had something crazier than that, right? And so when I was getting this and I was walking through this and preparing for today, I started thinking about this when I see that Jesus said, Father, forgive them. What I started thinking of is this. This is what Jesus asked me, and maybe he's asking you this right now. Where do you draw the line and stop forgiving in your life? Is there a line? Now, hear me out. This is where it's hard. This is where I will stand here as your pastor and say, I don't have it all together, because I bet most of us have a line that we're willing to draw. But when I look to the cross and I look to Jesus, he didn't draw a line. He crossed the line. There was nothing that he wouldn't forget. He says, Father, forgive them. Who is them? That's all of us. And so if I really want to be like Jesus, I can't have a line in my life that I draw and stop forgiving. Now, hear me out. I'm willing to bet that a lot of us today have some unforgiveness we're holding on to. Maybe it was physical. Maybe it's mental abuse. Maybe we have sexual abuse that we've walked through in our life, and I can't imagine everything that you're walking through. So hear me out before we get any further with this message. If you need help today, please let us know. We would love to get you in contact with people. Here's the thing I want to tell you today. Jesus did live a life of forgiveness, but he never created you to stay in an abusive situation. And I want you to understand that right now. If you're in a physically, mentally, or sexually abusive relationship or somewhere like that, Jesus didn't die on the cross for you to live in that. He did call us to forgive, but he didn't call us to stay in that. So today, hear me out. I'm not telling you to stay in anything like that. But what I want you to know today is he never drew the line at forgiveness. And I believe that some of us today know where that line is, and we're approaching that line and we're struggling with that line. And it might be a next step that we just have to take today. So here's what I want to talk to you about. How in the world do we forgive? We hear it all the time. How do we forgive? Because the thing is, I know that I've been forgiven by Jesus. As a matter of fact, he leads to the cross saying, Father, forgive them. He's talking about all of us. How in the world do I forgive and yet still be at a place where I don't have this line in my life that I'm not willing to have anyone cross? So today I want to share with you some facts about forgiveness. And that's where I want to pick up here in Matthew 18 as we talk about the first cry from the cross, forgive. So if you've got your Bible today, we're going to be starting in verse 21, Matthew 18 and verse 21, and it says this. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother and sister who plays potato sack with me? I'm just kidding. Don't think I'm putting stuff in the Bible there. It says, how many times should I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven? Now, before we move on here, and many times in my life, I've been called Peter. I'm hard-headed. I'm prideful. I'll go in obedience where Jesus calls me to be. I'm not telling you that as a moment of pride. I'm telling you I'm bold. I'm willing to go and do what Jesus called me to do, even if it sounds crazy at the time. So a lot of times people have said, hey, man, you're like Peter. I don't know if that's a compliment or not, but we'll take it. But when I look at this, I think about Peter. And Peter, I got to share this on a Thursday night not too long ago. We know that Peter is one of the disciples who was married because Jesus healed his mother-in-law. So I'm willing to bet he left the towels on the floor for the sixth time. And he had not picked them up, or he had put the toilet paper the wrong way for the sixth time. And he just wanted to know so he could go back to his wife and say, well, Jesus said, you got to forgive me seven times, right? Like, he was ready to go. He said he was ready to have some ammo. So he's asking Jesus, how many times should I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? So he's probably trying to get ready to take this home to his wife. And Jesus gives him what Jesus always does. It's awesome. Jesus said and answered him, and he said, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Now, we know from the New King James, if you grew up, or the King James Version, is seven times 70 times. So we look at that. 490 times we're supposed to forgive our brother and sister. So whoever right now is kind of like me, and you're like, carry the seven, okay, add four. Okay, 490. I'm at 430. You've got 60 more times, and I can stop forgiving you. That's the line that you're willing to draw and willing to cross. That's where Peter is. He's saying one of Jesus' own disciples walked with him on his earthly ministry step by step, went out boldly to do all Jesus called him to do, is literally asking him, how many times am I supposed to forgive my brother and sister? In other words, he's saying, Jesus, where's the line? And I don't know about you, but I find myself in that situation more than I want to. Well, Jesus, I forgave him yesterday. Hey, I ain't staying in an abusive situation, but I forgave him yesterday. It's up to you what you do with the rest of it. How many of us have been there? Hey, how many of us are right there right now where we struggle with that? Jesus says 490 times. A day? A day. 490 times you're supposed to forgive your brother and sister. I'm pretty sure I was at 489 on the potato sack. I think they knew that, so they didn't want to cross the line. So the first thing that I want to tell you today about forgiveness is literally this, what Jesus is telling Peter about this line. Forgiven people forgive people. Forgiven people forgive people. He's reminding Peter right now, hey, if you are forgiven, you're supposed to forgive people. Like, don't keep count. You're not supposed to keep a record of wrongs of your brother. That's not your job. Your job is just to love. We say this here at the Vine all the time. We talk about Billy Graham's famous quote, and it's so real, it's so true. It says, hey, it's the Holy Spirit's job to convict, God's job to judge, and it's my job to love. So it's our job as forgiven people, if we have a relationship with Jesus, to forgive those around us. That doesn't mean it's easy, though, is it? As a matter of fact, it's really hard for me to forgive someone else. But when I realize that I can't forgive someone else for something, doesn't mean that I have to stay in an abusive situation. It's more than likely because I'm struggling with something myself. That's what Jesus is reminding him here. He's reminding him, hey, forgiveness isn't something that you are supposed to just do completely. That's where Peter was getting at with that number seven. That's one of the numbers of completion in the Bible. He's saying forgiveness is something you're supposed to continually do. Here's the thing that I love about this, as Jesus is about to go into this story that forgiveness is reminding me of, is when Jesus went to the cross, he reminded me I never did anything to earn his forgiveness. I can only receive it. And the thing about you and I is when we struggle with unforgiveness and those that are around us is I wonder if maybe we're trying to make others earn our forgiveness instead of just freely giving it. You see, that's what I think Jesus is telling us when he goes to the cross. This isn't a game. This isn't a 12-step program. This isn't a moment that's supposed to be a catalyst. This isn't supposed to be one of those shifts, as you hear, as we say that a lot of times. If you want to get people excited in church, you just say, there's a shift coming. I have to make sure I say that right, because that would have been bad if the mic went out at the wrong time. There's a shift coming. You see, the shift is, once you've been forgiven, people see the change of Jesus in you. They see that you're forgiving them. What they do with it is up to them. But Jesus has called us to forgive. This is how we live it out. So the question is, in my life, in your life, I wonder if so many times in our life, do we struggle with this? Because I look at my life, and a lot of times my relationship dictates my level of forgiveness, doesn't it? Like, if you cut me off on the way to church, I'm mad at you because I didn't see the Jesus sticker on your car. I'm late already. I need to get stuff doing. So my level of forgiveness is I'm going to catch you by that next red light, right? I'm going to do everything I can, pedal to the metal, because I don't have a relationship with you. Or maybe, just maybe, it's the other way around. Because you have a relationship with a person, you equate forgiveness with abuse. And once again, that's not what Jesus called you to do. He never called you to be in an abusive situation. So today, I just want to ask you, are you living a life of forgiveness because you're forgiven? Or are you forgiven and spending all your time condemning? I can tell you, in my life, I can fit in that last category more than I want to believe. You've crossed a line. Now, here's the thing. When I say you've crossed a line, there are times when people have to be at arm's reach in your life, even though they're forgiven, because of the abuse of the situation. Once again, Jesus didn't call you to be abused. He did call you to live a life of forgiveness and be forgiven. So my question to you is, are you really living this life of forgiveness? Because I wonder if we can see that that forgiveness may be the thing that sets people up to have a relationship like never before with him, because they see it in you. When they say, man, I did all of this to you and you still forgive me? That points people to Jesus like never before. And when I look to that cross and I look to the first thing Jesus said, it would have been really easy for him to be like, y'all are casting lots for my clothes. This is crazy. Y'all are murdering me on a cross. I'm up here stripped naked. I have a crown of thorns on my head. You made fun of me, calling me King of the Jews. Like, in that moment, I would be prideful and say, at least let me die in peace. But instead, he stands on that cross and he says, forgive them. And that doesn't mean just some people like we started out with. That means all. Forgive them. That's all of us, not just some of us. So wherever you are on this forgiveness track today, I want you to know, if you have Jesus in your life, we're called to live a life of forgiveness, as hard as it may seem. And when I think that giving forgiveness is hard, I seriously look to that cross and say, man, thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me, because I didn't have to do that. I didn't have to do that. And so, where we are today is, I want you to know, number one, forgiven people forgive people. Let's continue on with this story, because this is what I love about Jesus. He didn't just drop a blanket statement and say, go figure it out. He said this. It goes on in verse 23, in Matthew 18, verse 23, it goes on to tell us, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. I love when Jesus says that. If you ever doubted heaven being on earth with Jesus, he always starts a lot of his parables that way. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Let me tell you about this 10,000 bags of gold right quick. If you've got notes, I want to tell you. 10,000 bags of gold. So when Jesus is teaching at that time, a denarii, you hear that a lot in the Bible, A denarii is a day's wages, okay? A denarii is a day's wages. Now we can see when Jesus talks about the parable of the talent, the parable of the bags of gold, basically one bag of gold equaled 20 years of labor. How much debt was this man in? 10,000 bags of gold, or 200,000 years of labor, he's in debt. So when I talked about Financial Peace University, does anybody else feel like they can get out of their debt a little bit, seeing that somebody's 200,000 years in debt? Holy cannoli. How could you amass that? What did he have? What kind of camel did this guy roll with? Like, what in the world was happening in his life that he had 200,000 years worth of debt? That is something that's generational, right? And it says, since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he, his wife, and children, and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. Now, a lot of times we can glaze over that scripture, but understand what he just said. Everything to be sold, including his wife and children, had to be sold to repay his debt. Does anybody think that that's crazy? Does anybody struggle with forgiveness in that? Come on. And he says he had to sell it all so that he could repay his debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him and said, "Be patient with me," he begged, "and I will pay back everything." Now, let me ask you something. If you're the master in that situation, this guy's laying before you and said, "I'm going to pay back everything." There's 200,000 years of labor that you haven't paid yet. You've more than defaulted. This isn't your student loan company calling you about ruining your credit because you didn't pay your bills. Like, this is 200,000 years of debt. And he said, "Be patient with me." Here's what the servant master did. He took pity on him. He canceled the debt, and he let him go. You talk about something crazy. 200,000 years of debt, and he let him go. He just let him go. Second thing about forgiveness today is I want you to know, forgiveness is the key to freedom. Forgiveness is the key to freedom. I just told you a crazy stat about debt. And I told you, I've shared with you how debt has ravaged my life, and I've shared with you how debt has been in a place in my life and how it has affected me generationally. And I promise you, it'll affect generations for you too, which is why we're walking through financial peace. But I've also seen in financial peace where people have been able to pay hundreds of thousands of dollars of debt off within like 15 months, paid off $100,000 worth of debt. And you say, how did they do it? Well, they had to forgive themselves for their past mistakes, and they had to keep taking steps forward. See, that's maybe where we get stuck today. Maybe the person we're struggling with forgiving the most is ourselves. And I can tell you right now, I've been there. There are things in my life right now that I've not forgiven myself for, but when I realize that forgiveness is the key to freedom, I understand that just because I have a key to freedom doesn't mean that I continue to walk in those mistakes. It means that I've got to forgive myself for my past so that I can move forward. We've heard it said a lot of times in leadership. You've heard it said, there's a reason the windshield's bigger than the rearview mirror, right? Because we're supposed to live life forward. We're supposed to look out ahead and not look so much behind, but to see maybe what did we learn? Where did we see God move in his faithfulness so that we could be catapulted forward into what he's called us to do? But that forgive, that word forgive is what we struggle with. Maybe that's somebody that's in your life right now. You're struggling with that forgiveness. And maybe you're like me with a Pharisee heart, or you struggle with revenge. Like, man, I'm going to get them back. I'm going to find a way. But I look at that story, and I see the master didn't worry about finding a way. He just understood how he could set someone free. You know, in that story, if we have a relationship with Jesus, we're that person that's 200,000 years in debt. There's nothing we could have ever done to repay the debt of our sin. Nothing. But the master, he gave us freedom through forgiveness. You see, I know so many times in our life, we think, well, if I forgive them, they get away with it. And I want to tell you, couldn't be further from the truth. When you forgive them, you set yourself free from it. Which means, sometimes forgiving them means you can't have a relationship with them anymore. And maybe you struggle with that part. But understand, once again, Jesus never called you to stay in abuse. Never. But we struggle with that, don't we? Doesn't mean we can't love people. Doesn't mean that we don't see them. Doesn't mean that we don't care. It just means, hey, I've forgiven you. What you do with it's up to you. But I get to move forward because of this forgiveness. Otherwise, I stay stuck. I stay stuck. So my question is, where are you at with that? Because when I'm walking through forgiveness being the key to freedom, I understand this. I understand that those who owe me a debt, they can't always repay me. That's okay. But here's the thing that I have. If someone owes me a debt because I've been offended, I can always forgive them and show mercy, can't I? We got caught so many times because we forget as the debtor, we could never repay the Savior for what he did. And so we think we're the only ones that deserve forgiveness. But here's the thing. If someone has offended me, I have the opportunity. As a matter of fact, Jesus says, I have the obligation to forgive them. I can offer mercy and forgiveness, but it doesn't mean that I stay in abuse. I can't hammer that home enough because I think in our culture, that's where we get stuck. We think that because we're in a situation, we can get stuck in abuse. And I can't say that clearly enough. But if you want to get free today, you still can forgive people. So you can look in that windshield and move forward. So I want you to understand today that forgiveness is the key to freedom. You know, we've shared it so many times, and we hear about it all the time. I mean, we talk about forgiveness at church all the time. But, you know, the world, Jesus says, the world will know us by our actions, not by our words. So how we forgive people is how we show them Jesus. Now, if somebody owes me 200,000 years of labor, and I forgive that 200,000 years of labor, and they come back to me and want to finance 10,000 years of labor. Now, do you think I'm going to finance them 10,000 years of labor? No, because that would be stupid. I'm just going to tell you right now, that would be stupid. But I can forgive them of that 200,000 years. I can forgive them of that. So that's what I'm trying to equate you with relationships, is I want you to understand today, I can forgive someone who's offended me. It just means we got to move forward a little bit differently. But I can step forward in freedom knowing that I've been forgiven and knowing that I've extended the forgiveness that I've been called to forgive. That's what Peter was trying to get at is, where's the line, God? Can I draw this line so that I don't forgive him anymore? And Jesus says, no, just keep forgiving him. Just keep forgiving him. In our society today, we have so many of those things happening. You know, there's a debate about abortion going on. There's a debate about marriage. There's a debate about taxes. Good Lord, there's a debate about everything. But when we look at it, like I've shared with you the other week, the world knows our stance on abortion is murder. That's not a question. I don't question. There's no question in that. The difference is, how do I treat those who are struggling with abortion or trying to walk through abortion or have walked out of abortion? And do they understand the forgiveness that is found in Jesus Christ, or do they see the condemnation that is found in me? That's where forgiveness is the key to freedom. If they only see condemnation from me, they're never going to see Jesus through me. So if you want to forgive folks and want to know that Jesus loves them and let them know who he is, no matter where they are on the spectrum of following Jesus, forgive them. Forgive them. When you go out to lunch today and the person's late with your food, forgive them. You don't know what they've walked through. You didn't see the person that just blessed them out two tables ago. You didn't know that they couldn't pay their bills this month. You didn't know that their car was broke down and they barely made it into work today. Forgive them. Forgive them. You want to live a life of freedom, live a life of forgiveness. Once again, it's not a life of stupidity, though. It's not a life where you walk in and do that. So forgiveness is the key to freedom. So I keep hammering that home. So let me tell you, if you need some forgiveness and you need to get out of debt, forgive yourself, show up on Thursday, and let's walk through that season together. Because I'm telling you, you can do it. I believe you can. So let's continue this story, because I'm not done with this forgiveness. It's all going to make sense here in just a little bit. And if it isn't, I believe the Holy Spirit's going to move. It's going to make sense. So it's a good time. So let's continue this story. The thing that I love is the story didn't stop there. And this is where, when I look at this story, I say, Tyler, who are you in this story? Well, it's really easy. In the beginning, I'll tell you, I'm the debtor. I can never repay my 200,000 years of labor. I might get 198, though, right? Like, I'm going to work hard to try to get 198, but I'll never get my 200,000 years of labor. So then the master's forgiven me. But Jesus said, Tyler, where are you at in the rest of this story? And this is what I want to ask you as we continue it with this thing called forgive. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. 100 silver coins. So in retrospect, it's about 100 years labor. He owed 200,000. Somebody else has about 100 years labor. He grabbed him and began to choke him. How does that sound like forgiveness? And he says, pay back what you owe me, he demanded. Like, I feel like this is a Denzel Washington movie, like where he's hardcore, or a Rock movie. Like, you know, he's going out and he's getting vengeance, right? Or Sylvester Stallone back in the day. I don't know who else. Maybe I'm missing somebody. I don't know who else I'm missing. But Samuel L. Jackson back in the day. He's going out and he's going to get his revenge, right? His fellow servant does what? He falls to his knees and he begs him, be patient with me and I will pay it back. And so the man forgave him just as he was forgiven, and all lived happily ever after. And the birds came out and sing, and Walt Disney put his little logo on the end, and we were all happy. No. This is where I'm asking you, who are you in this story? Because Jesus has been convicting me of it, and it says, but he refused. When you live your life with unforgiveness, you were like the servant who had everything forgiven but chose not to forgive others. Instead, he went off. He had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged, went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in and said, you wicked servant. He said, I canceled all the debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I have had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he could pay back all he owed. Let me ask you, do you think he could have paid back all he owed? I don't think I could have. I know he couldn't have, because he never did anything to deserve to earn that debt. But this is what I love about verse 35. This is how my heavenly Father will treat you unless each of you forgive your brother and sister from your heart. That's hell, my friends. He sent that person to hell because they chose not to forgive. Now, I'm not telling you your relationship's over with Jesus if you choose not to forgive, but I am asking you, if you've received the gift of forgiveness, we as Christians have to get past not forgiving others. We have to. Because they are living in hell, literally. And Jesus is saying right there, unless you forgive your brother and sister, I will not forgive you. You've got to forgive them with all of your heart. And so many times when I struggle with that forgiveness, this is why we're starting with this, I look to the cross. Because I think there's no way that that person's been through what I've been through. There's no way that they understand what I'm going through. And I look to the cross and I realize Jesus knows what it's like to be betrayed. He knows what it's like to be denied. He knows what it's like to be mocked. He knows what it's like to be stripped naked and murdered. And not only that, he knows what it's like to be murdered by the very hands that he created. Pretty sure somebody in my life knows what it's like. And so when I struggle with forgiveness, I go back to the cross. And I look to Jesus. And I say, Jesus, I don't know how I can walk through forgiveness, but I know you can show me how to forgive. And so today, that's what I'm wondering, is where are you? Have you walked to Jesus, or do you just go to Jesus and cry down hellfire and brimstone upon that person and want to throw them into jail and prison to pay back a debt that they owe you? Because in the end, when we're in that pine box one day and we're about to go 6 feet under, do you think that debt they owed you matters? That's what Jesus is telling us. No. But the life you live and the life and the thing that you point to will matter when you're in that pine box and long after that pine box than it ever will walking through this life with unforgiveness. So my question is today, do we trust Jesus? Will we say, Father, forgive them, and understand because we've been forgiven, we can forgive? Are we walking in freedom or condemnation? So here's the thing. I know sometimes in my life, I'll be like, well, Jesus, I've heard that story before, and I know where I stand. And he's like, ha ha, this is what I love about the word. It's living, active, and breathing, and it's new and fresh. So if you got your Bible, I want to show you where Jesus has just been working on me even more. Hop to Exodus 15, and I want to show you this crazy story that Jesus showed me about living with unforgiveness. If you struggle with that today, I want to show you what your life is like, because I lived it. And areas of my life, I wish I could tell you I'm where I want to be, but I'm not. But I sure ain't where I used to be by God's grace. So Exodus 15, we're going to pick up in verse 22. And if you're struggling with forgiveness, not only are you throwing your friends in prison and jail, and you're trying to look good, and Jesus is telling you to forgive them even more, this is what your life is like. Verse 22, then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea. He led them from the bondage of Egypt, the slavery that was in Egypt. They crossed the Red Sea. Remember, on dry land, God had a miracle. All the Egyptians were behind them. They all died in the Red Sea. He's leading them into the Promised Land. And where's the first place he leads them to? The desert. So Moses led Israel from the Red Sea to the desert of Shur. Go figure. And then how long? For 3 days. That's got some significance coming into Easter, right? For 3 days, they traveled in the desert without finding water. I don't know about you, but 3 days, 1 day without water. I can barely go the entire message without a little water, a little liquid. 3 days they were in the desert. 3 days they went without water. That's why the place is, and when they came to this place, they called it Marah. They could not drink its water because it was bitter. That is why the place is called Marah. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, what are you to drink? What are we to drink? If you want to think Jesus is only in the New Testament, connect the dots here in a minute, and I'm going to help you do it. Verse 25 says this. Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood, and he threw the wood in the water, and the water became fit to drink. There the Lord issued a ruling and instruction for them and put them to the test. He said, if you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all of his decrees, I will not bring to you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you. Last thing I want to tell you about forgiveness today is this. The cross. The cross can make what was bitter sweet again. The cross can make what was bitter sweet again. The cross can make what is bitter sweet again. It's no coincidence to me that a piece of wood was thrown in that water to make it clean. And if you're walking around right now with unforgiveness in your life, you are drinking from the well of bitterness. Not only that, you are never satisfied, you'll never be satisfied, and all of a sudden those around you will do nothing but grumble with you. Trust me, I struggle with that myself. Losing an hour of sleep can make us do that from time to time, right? We can be grumbly and be angry. But the thing is, Jesus never died on the cross for you to drink from the well of bitterness. Because of the cross, he says, wells of life will spring out of you, and the streets will overflow with it. So my question is, if you have a relationship with Jesus and you're struggling with unforgiveness, are you continuing to walk in the desert to try to find wells of bitterness left and right and continue to drink from those wells and blame everybody else, look to Moses and say, it's your fault I don't have clean water. It's your fault that I don't have a good life. It's your fault that I don't have enough. It's your fault because of what you owe me. Or are you going to walk forgiven, understanding that Jesus died to not only set you free, but everyone free? Where do you stand on that spectrum? Because I know me. I want that line, and you ain't going to cross it. But I remember another story in the Bible where Jesus drew a line in the sand, and there was a woman caught at the well, and he just forgave her. He said, woman, has anyone condemned you? Go, depart from your sin. So when I looked at my life and said, where am I struggling with forgiveness? I understand, just like those Israelites, I wanted to step into God's promise, but I could never receive it because of the bitterness that I was continuing to drink from. So, my question is, do the world know around you that the cross can make what was bitter sweet again? In other words, so many of us, because of our relationship with Jesus and because of the cross in our life, it's better than a Brita filter or a zero water filter. I don't know if that's copyright. We'll deal with that later. It's better than those things. As a matter of fact, when I look at Jesus because of the cross, that is my filter. He is who I operate through. That is the lens, the perspective I have. And if I have that perspective on my life, why in the world can I have that on everyone else's? But if I continue to drink from bitterness, I take that cross that's illuminated, and I put my name up there and think that it's all about me, not him. So if you struggle with forgiveness right now, I want to tell you, I'm here to walk with you in the season because there are areas in my life that I struggle with forgiveness right now. Hashtag road rage. Hashtag I'm just trying to get somewhere on time. Hashtag I can't help it because I'm late. Hashtag why did Spartanburg County put all the red lights to conspire against me? That's why the cameras are up, right? Like, if you struggle with forgiveness in your life, look back at the Israelites. Those were God's chosen people that he set free from bondage. Just like that debtor, he set free. But how we live shows the world who he is. So today, do we live like the cross can make what was bitter sweet again? And so as we're getting ready to come here to a close, I know that maybe what you're going through still hurts. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure the pain's unbearable. I'm there. I understand that. There are relationships in my life that are crazy, 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 because I'm the crazy one. But there are relationships in my life that I struggle with forgiveness in. There are relationships in my life and things that have been done to me. But the difference is the forgiveness in Jesus through me that will be the determining factor in how I live my life. But here's the thing. I can't have total satisfaction and total forgiveness until the cross enters that well of bitterness in my life and I accept Jesus at his word that he is who he says he is. So all the way through this, we say this each and every week, and we know this. This is why we do what we do. Today, I spoke specifically to people who have a relationship with Jesus, but today, maybe you're struggling with forgiveness because you don't know what forgiveness feels like. As a matter of fact, you feel like God is out to get you. You feel like God is against you. You feel like all of a sudden you've got a debt that you can never repay, so I'm going to work it all off. And I hate to tell you, you never work it off. 200,000 years of labor, that's why God sent his son to die on a blood-stained wooden cross to set us free. And so today, maybe you can't give forgiveness because you've never experienced forgiveness. And here's the thing, all of us were that debtor at a time. All of us had so much debt that we can never repay, but it took us coming to the master and saying, have mercy on me, God, and receiving his son as our sacrifice, as the thing that made us free, that set us free, as our forgiveness, as our hope, as the thing that took the bitterness of our sin and completely changed our lives, completely power washed our lives, set us free. And so my thing is, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus today, this is your opportunity to receive forgiveness. You see, 1 John 1:9 says it this way, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and do what? Purify us from all unrighteousness. He's that wood in the water that makes the bitterness sweet again. Maybe your life is consumed with bitterness, but you've never had the sweet taste of salvation. And today is your day, and today is your moment. I don't know where you are. I don't know what your relationship looks like. Maybe you're listening in the car. Maybe you're sitting at a coffee shop. We're thankful that you've made space for this, but I believe that the Spirit wanted you to hear this today. So right now, we're about to say a prayer, and the thing that we're about to do is we pray as a family in this house. It's not the words of this prayer that saves you. It's the faith and receiving by faith God's grace and forgiveness as Jesus as our Lord and Savior. It's what's taking that bitterness, that debt we're trying to repay, and understand that we can live a life forgiven. As a matter of fact, Jesus said that he came to give us life and live it to the full. And the thing is, if you're struggling with unforgiveness, I wonder if you could just live a life that was free, or you could just be what God created you to be. It starts by giving your life to Christ. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask everyone to repeat this prayer after me. And then I've got something for us all here at the end as well. If that's you today, we're going to be praying with you as a family. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask you to repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe you lived the life I couldn't live, died the death I deserved on the cross, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day, so that I may have life. Come take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow you, step by step, the rest of my life, the best way I know how. And with every head bow and every eye closed, whether you're watching online or you're in this house today, and you can say for the first time that you've ever received the forgiveness of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to count to three and I'm going to ask you to respond. One, two, three. If that's you and you're watching online, there's going to be a hand that's raised. If you're watching on Facebook, comment. If you're watching on live.thevine.tv, reach out to us at prayer@thevine.tv. Or maybe you're watching on YouTube, reach out to us at prayer@thevine.tv. Shoot. Call us at 864-580-6698. We want to celebrate with you and walk through this. Because here's the thing that I know. I can't promise you the circumstance you're in is going to be perfect tomorrow. But I can promise you that you're going to have hope through it. And you've got a family of people here that are willing to walk with you no matter what season you're in. So today, if that's you, we want to celebrate with you. And for everyone else, I'm about to pray for us, but as we get ready for this song of worship, stand when I'm done praying after this song. Don't stand right now. When we get done praying, stand. I just want to ask you, do you believe you are who Jesus says you are? Do you believe you're forgiven? Because the world will know how you live if you really believe you're forgiven. If you believe that you are who he says you are, that you aren't what this world says, you aren't your past circumstance, you aren't what's in the rearview mirror, you have nothing but the forward future to look to because Jesus gave you a future in him. Would you trust that today? Maybe today your struggle of forgiveness is for you. And I'm going to ask you during this song, lay down everything that is you, forgive yourself, and move forward and ask Jesus how he would have you forgive others. So dear Jesus, as I pray this prayer right now, I pray for myself and everyone here that wherever we are on forgiveness, that we understand that through you, there is no line to be crossed, that you've already crossed the line, that you made a way for all of us, and that we don't have to live a life of bitterness and anger, and we don't have to live a life where we don't think that it's ever going to be good enough, where we've got to earn everything and we've got to prove ourselves. Because Jesus, you said, it is finished on the cross. The work is done. So today, wherever we are in forgiveness, maybe we struggle with forgiving ourselves. I pray that we would lay ourselves down, Jesus, and that we would see that you have had mercy on us and we would live our life like the cross is in it. Maybe we struggle with forgiving others. And whatever well of bitterness that is in that relationship with others, Jesus, I pray that the wood of the cross would come in, purify it, and set us free, that we would be consumed so much by you that people can't see bitterness in us, but see the sweet taste of salvation. Jesus, I pray that right now we would believe more than ever that we are who you say we are. We love you, Jesus. Amen. Please stand.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in his love for me. In his love for me. Who the Son sets me, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child. a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
All right, sorry, we had a little bit of craziness there. Y'all heard that? That screeching was me singing, so just know that's what that was. I'm very, very sorry. But here, seriously, everyone, when you came in today, and Spur students as well, you're welcome to come down. We have some things here. You should have got a cross when you came in today. It's not an earring, but do with it what you will. The reason that you got a cross today in your chair is it's a keychain. And the reason that you have that, as I threw it to the ground, is this. The reason that you have that today is we talked about the cross being the lens by which we go through, the cross that purifies us. We talk about that being the filter in our life and how that bitter water was made sweet through the cross. And so throughout this series, the reason that that's there is to remind you who you are in Jesus, to remind you that you've been forgiven so that you can forgive others, and that little piece of wood can purify all the bitterness in your life. So the reason that it's a keychain is most of us have keys for something, even if they're keys for a playroom, we have keys for something. And so I've given you that keychain so that wherever you are, whatever you do, you are reminded of the cross in your life, because it's going to remind me of the cross in mine. And when I have the cross in my life, I can't help but have forgiveness for others. I can't help but live out who Jesus says I am, as opposed to what the world says I am. So today, throughout this series, you got a little something for being here with an hour with us missing an hour of sleep. But I just want to remind you. And wherever you are, hey, if you want to encourage each other, maybe you snap a picture of that cross and remind each other throughout the week how Jesus is moving in your life and how maybe he's setting you free. And I promise you, I'll do the same with you. So as we get ready here at the end, we always pray together. I would ask everybody to link up arms and us pray as a family together. And I just want to pray over us and throughout this week, because it can be really, really easy to live in unforgiveness. As a matter of fact, I can tell you in my life, those bitter waters I've tasted so much that I just thought it was normal. But it was until I tasted the sweet, sweet victory of salvation that I understood that that wasn't the life that I was called to live. And it's not for you either. So that's what I'm going to pray for. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, dear Jesus, thank you for this time. I mean, there are so many things, Lord, that we can be caught up in. But the thing that we can't be caught up in is when we think someone owes us something and not give them forgiveness for it. Jesus, you came and gave all not because you owed us anything. As a matter of fact, you freely gave and said, hey, I'm coming so that you can be set free. And so Jesus, today, let us be reminded that a life with unforgiveness is not a life filled with freedom. As a matter of fact, it's a life that is a well of bitterness. So Jesus, today, whatever parts in our life are that bitter water in Exodus 15, I pray that we would let the cross come into it. I pray that we would taste the sweet water, and we would see that through you, we can have restoration, we can have healing, that through you, we can be who you created us to be and have a life that's full of freedom, a life that isn't out to prove anything, but is a life just to be exactly who you created us to be. So today, wherever we are on that forgiveness spectrum, if we've drawn that line, Jesus, remind us that it's 7 times 70 times. Wherever we are on that, Jesus, I pray that you would help us there. Wherever we are in forgiving ourselves, Lord, I pray that we wouldn't look in that small rearview mirror, but that we would look at that big giant windshield and see the life that you've laid out for us to live. And I pray that whatever we do, Jesus, your name would have the most fame and receive the most glory because people see the cross in us, not our bitterness. Jesus, bring us safely back here next week. And Lord, just let us have an amazing week. And whatever we do, let the cross walk through it. We love you, Lord, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. Join us next week as we continue our 7 cries from the cross. We can't wait to see you.